Good morning. We're going to start a new topic today, a complex topic essentially, and a long one, but let's see if we can try simplify it so we can get clarity. Topic is Amira La'akum Maleches Akum, meaning can you tell a goy to do something for you? Can you not? When can you? How can you? And what about if he does something, even if it's unsolicited, what are the dinners? And I think the topic itself has already pointed out that we're dealing with two issues over here. Therefore, we'll start with two rules that have to do with Amir La'akum, and that is that there's a problem telling a goy something. Irrelevant of when he's going to carry it out, there's a problem of talking that way. You can't talk about a malach on Shabbos. So you can't tell a goy, go do a malacha, even if you're telling him to do it for himself. Well, we'll talk about for himself at a different stage. But even if you're telling him to do it after Shabbos, you're telling him to do malacha is a problem in your dibur. You're not allowed to speak in Isra on Shabbos. And telling a goy, go light a fire, go turn on the lights, go do X, Y, Z, that in itself is an amira that's asur. And together with amira is also what we call remiza. Remiza is hinting. Hinting comes in two different forms. There's one form where it's not a direct command, but you have spoken to him about what he should be doing. And another one is you don't tell him anything. You don't tell him anything about what should be done, but rather you notify him of a situation. And if he has enough seichel, which I think the average human being has enough seichel for that, he will come to a conclusion and realize that there's a reason why you told him. So when there's a remez, you tell a goy a remez, you tell him, we'll talk about it in a minute. So first of all, number one issur is the telling to a goy. Telling to a goy as a problem of something you're not allowed to do. And Travis is not allowed to talk about Dvarim HaAsurim, and talking to a goy, like telling him to do a malacha, is what's considered awesome. There's also another part to it is that you're making him your shliach. He is your agent and carrying it out for you, and therefore it's related to you as well, the malacha. We will see examples of how to practice. And the second is the second issue that needs to be discussed when we talk about Maleches Akum and Amir La'akum is a goy does malacha for a yid. Are you allowed to have benefit from that malacha? So irrelevant of whether you said it in a way that's mutter or said it in a way that's asr, or even if you didn't say it, but he on his own accord realized that your situation needs a change and he went and he did this change and it required a malacha, then are you allowed to have hana from what he did? Are you allowed to benefit? If there is direct benefit to you, then it is asr to derive benefit from something that he has done. We will see exceptions to this obviously, but those are the two basic things. There's an Isra Amira, you cannot say do so and so, even if it means telling him to do it later, and you cannot derive direct benefit from something he's done, even if he didn't ask him. As I mentioned in the first case, the Isra Amira, it's not only the way you talk on Shabbos to Shabbos, you don't talk about Malachas, it's also because you are asking him to be your agent. We will see that that's the Nafkamina of what can you ask him on Friday? Because if it's purely a question of the Daber Dover, of your speech, and you're not allowed to talk about a malacha, so then for on Friday you don't have that restriction. So if that's the case, you can tell him whatever you like on Friday. We'll see that that's not the case. Therefore, I'll add it in the extra idea of that he's your agent. So when he carries it out, he's doing it on your behalf. That's also part of the Isur of Amir La'akum. So, number one is, you cannot tell a goy outright to do something that's forbidden for you to do on Shabbos. Whether the prohibition is a Torah prohibition, whether it is a Derabbanan prohibition, of course, we will see that there's such a thing as a Shus. The Shus, we'll get to that. But essentially, to tell a goy to do something that's forbidden, and he's doing it and he asks him to do it for you, is asur. So it doesn't make a difference whether you ask him to turn on the light. In a way, there will be an Isur Daraisa, the whole incandescent bulbs on Daraisa, or Bono, however you look at electricity, or to turn on the stove, or turn on the heating, or whatever it is, whether it could be a Daraisa involved, or whether you're telling him a Darabanon, whatever may open up a certain knot that is only an Isur Darabanon, or something like that. There would also be an Amir La'akum and an Isur Darabanon, which would be also to carry something for you through a Rosh Hasharabim, depending if the public domain is of the status that is considered a Torah Dika public domain, so then it's a Doraisa to get to carry it for you. And if it's a Issa de Rabbanon, because it doesn't have all the criteria of a public domain, in a Torah, then it's an Issa de Rabbanon. So to tell a goy to bring something to shul for you, for example, where there's no Eruv, is Namira Le'akum. Sometimes it could be Doraisa, sometimes it could be Rabbanon. Both cases would be Osur in the essential format. We will see there are exceptions, but right now we've given the rule. Now, to tell a goy before Shabbos, while it is still weekday, that he should carry out something which is asked on Shabbos is also asked. So even though there's no prohibition in the talking, but it's the question of getting him to carry it out that's asked. So to tell him that please come tomorrow to my house, pick up my seder and bring it to shul for me, where there's no Eruv, that again, just because you told him on Friday, does not help. And it is also asked to tell him on Shabbos that he can't do something on Moshe Shabbos. So you meet a Goyish, a taxi driver on Shabbos, and you tell him, please come by this evening and give me a ride to the airport. And that is Asur. You've said straight out so that he should carry, that he should drive you, even though the malach is going to be done, but what you're requesting is to be done on Moshe Shabbos, the Amira in itself. So we see that there's a double facet into the talking over here, is that A, it is a problem of what your speech, which you can't do on Shabbos, and B, that he becomes your agent, and therefore even if it is done said during the week, it's still, you cannot get him to act this out for you on Shabbos. Now, a hint, so there's two types of hints mentioned. Number one is a hint where there's a understanding that you're asking to do something. So if there's an understanding, even though you didn't say direct, do this, but you said, why didn't you do this previously? In other words, you mentioned the malacha, you mentioned, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you turn off the light? Why didn't you turn on the light? Why didn't you do whatever it was? That in it, and now he understands from that that you want him to do it. So true, that's not a direct command, but that's also considered as a command and is also, we will see there is an exception to that because it's already a lower level of speech. And the third case is, it's called a direct talk, a hint. And the third one is what we call Sipur Dvarim Ba'alma, is you telling him over a story. What does it mean telling him over a story? Is you're informing him of a situation, and if he's intelligent enough, he realizes the reason why you told him, you informed him of the situation is because you want a change to the situation. You have not told him to do anything. You've only informed him of a situation, and he has come to the conclusion on his own. So that, as the Amira goes, as the talking goes, it's mutter. We will see that it depends on the second thing that we spoke about, that even though, that when a goy does a malacha for you, and you're going to get direct, straight benefit from his malacha, then even if he did it on his own, or if you told it to him in a story fashion, which is mutter to tell him, you still can't have an offer on that malacha. So we'll see cases of how this can be used. So we'll say like this, that if you are telling a goy, besipu dvarim ba'alma, meaning in just a factual telling him information without a request for mentioning a malacha, and the result of what he does is an improvement in your life but doesn't make something a direct hana from what he's done, meaning you could have done it beforehand, but now he just made it easier for you. So, for example, if the room has light on, and you can sleep with light on, but it's always more comfortable with the light off. So you have a goy nearby, and you're telling him, you should know, I don't sleep well with light on. You haven't told him to turn it off. You haven't told him to do anything. He says, oh, why did this Jew tell me that he can't sleep with light on? Oh, because he's Jewish, and he doesn't turn the light off himself. I mean, some of them will turn around and say, oh, you don't sleep well with light, so turn it off. Very good. But if he's got a little bit more sense, he'll say, oh, tucker. That's what he's telling me, and he comes and he turns it off. Now, true, he's done a malacha. And he's done it without you asking to do it. You've only mentioned that there's such an issue in your vicinity. Nevertheless, we will say that here it's mutter to have an on. You're allowed to say it like that. And it's mutter because you could have slept with the light on. So what he's done, he hasn't given you direct benefit of enabling you to do something on Shabbos. So let's give a couple of examples so we can try understand these rules that we've set down. So as I said, a person says to a goy, it is difficult for me to sleep when there's light in the room, would be begeder sipu dvarim. That is, you haven't told the goy what to do, you haven't mentioned the malacha, you haven't even hinted, you know, why did you leave the light on, but why didn't you turn it off, is a little bit of a commanding that this is what you should be doing. I can't say it directly. I said in the lashon of why didn't. Now here he's a tzaddik, it's difficult to sleep with the light on. That is what we call sikud varim ba'alma. It is only informative of a narrative about your situation, and therefore you haven't done an amira. You can sleep with the light on. It's just more comfortable with the light off. Therefore, mutter is such a talk and result on Shabbos is mutter. If you tell him, why didn't you turn the light off last week? That would be awesome, because there the way you said it is lacking, because you mentioned the putting out, and that is what's awesome. If you have the gas on and it's no longer needed, and you tell the goy, wow, what a waste of gas, and he goes and he turns it off, that again, that is mutter to have him turn it off, because you haven't told him to do it, and you're not getting direct benefit. True, it saves you a bit of money, but it's not like right now you're feeling better, you can cook better, you can eat better, you can breathe in the house, whatever it is. You're not doing anything more now than you could do before. Mutter. If you use the lashon of, whoever puts out my fire will not lose out, which means to say I will reward you after Shabbos, that is also because that shows you use the lashon of whoever puts out the fire. You didn't say go put it out. You just hinted that this is what I want to be done. I want the fire to be extinguished, which is a lashon when, we'll get to that section, but when there's a fire, chas v'shalom, in someone's apartment, we will discuss that those halachas, how a person would call the emergency services, etc., etc. There, it's discussed of kol machava in a masjid would be mutter in the case of a tleika. Obviously, if it's a chas v'fashas, we're not talking about it, a chas v'fashas, and roiv, majority of home fires are sakonos kafashas, even if you're not aware of it. Speak to any fireman and any rav, they will tell you that home fires are extremely dangerous, even if they don't spread, there's smoke inhalation and can be very dangerous. Therefore, if you, the sofik, in any form of sofik, you call the fire department, you try to take out the fire yourself, and you ask questions afterwards. You don't ask questions before, you ask questions after. Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the light is on and you want to turn the light off. So fine, you cannot say whoever turns it off will not lose out, which means that I will give you a reward, I will thank you or whatever for what you've done. That is a hint with a command in it, and therefore that type of amira would be awesome. If a person tells a goy, I'm having trouble reading because the light is dim, and which means that you can read. It's just difficult. So now God comes and he overhears your comment, even though your comment was made for him to hear it, or you said it to him directly, then it doesn't make a difference. But you didn't say, why didn't you put the lights on last week? You know, why isn't that all brightly lit up over here? But you just thought, I'm having a hard time reading in the dark, in the dim light. But since you could have read with the light, it's just more comfortable. So the mele, this is not considered direct benefit from his malacha. It's just an added benefit. Therefore, from the point of view of talking, you haven't done an issur because you've done sikud varim ba'alma. From the point of view of panah, you could have done it, so therefore it is permissible. So doing the same exact criteria would be if a person only has one candle in the house and he mentions to the guy, you know, oh well, my house only has one candle. And the guy says, oh, nebuch, and he goes and lights a whole bunch of other candles. So with one candle, you can get around and, you know, to a certain extent, is more comfortable with 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 candles. So again, would be mutter. If the house was totally dark, and then you, Tucker, couldn't read or couldn't see your food or couldn't move about the house, and you make some comment to the guy that the house is dark and he comes and puts a candle in, then that would be also to vanish from the candle. There could be a situation, I'm not going to discuss it right now, but I'll just mention that if a guy turns on the light in your home, I'm not talking about where your person did an amira that was also he. Whether the guy came on his own or he did a remiza, whatever it is, but the guy turned on the light in your house. And as a result, now you can use the house, whereas before you could not use the house. Therefore, the resultant malacha that is done is also for you to have hanah from. Does that mean you have to leave your house? So under normal circumstances, we'll say that when the guy does a malacha for you in a way that is forbidden for you to have benefit from it, you may not take benefit from it, but we don't kick a person out of his own house. In his house, So then we will say that he does not need to leave the house, but he should avoid using the light, not sit down and now read something, because we're just giving him a heta not to leave, but not to use the light. So that's a separate, we might come back to this later, but that's just a separate issue of how far we take it that it's offered to be near if you want to go there. This applies also even if you tell a goy that the house is dark, and because you want to have a minyan there, you want to daven, you want to chit of a tibur, or you want to learn, you want to smedrash, or whatever it is. If that activity could not be done with a goy's intervention, and now he allows you, because he turned on the lights, to be able to have this activity done, even if it's a mitzvah activity that still doesn't give a hesed to be near from what is done, and to ask him to do it. Another example, what's mutter, is you mentioned to a goy that you don't have pre-cut toilet paper. So again, you're only at Sikud Warim Ba'alma, and there would be a way of somehow using the covered abrias, something like that. You could use what you have. He just makes it easier for you. Therefore, you may, yeah, I mean, got to have a clever goy who knows that a Jew doesn't cut toilet paper on Shabbos, but if you have in-house help that is there constantly, and they get to know the Jewish habits and ways of doing things, it's possible that he would understand that and cut the toilet paper for you, then that would be mutter to say it that way and to derive benefit. Now here's an interesting case where you're using a hint which is a command, not a sipudvarim ba'alma, yet it will be mutter because it is not for the sake of Shabbos. In other words, it's lacking in all the criteria that we need to make it also. It doesn't have the prohibition of what you can talk about, nor does it have the idea that he's becoming your agent to carry out this malacha for your Shabbos. Therefore, if you tell a goy, last week you didn't come pick me up with your car to take me to my regular shia, and he understands that this week he should be coming, then that will be mutter because you didn't say to him in the direct form. You used a hint, even though it was a hint that says, last week you didn't drive me somewhere, so you mentioned the malacha. You didn't say, I have no way of getting there. That would be simple going Bama. But even if you said, you didn't drive me last week, and I understand that this week you want him to drive, so that would be, normally you would say that's a remez, it's a hint that comes with a form of command, which normally is also, but here, because the malacha is going to be carried out on Moitzei Shabbos, you're telling me you didn't pick me up on Moitzei Shabbos, so then on Shabbos, an amira would be put. So too, a hint which would include a command would also be mutter if it was said on a Friday, even though the malacha is going to be carried out on Shabbos. Obviously, it must be that type of malacha that you could do without the goy. Otherwise, anything that he does, even on his own accord, even on his own motivation, would be also to be there from. But if you make some comments, last week you didn't turn the lights out when I went to sleep, and you told him this on Friday, so he knows to come in on Friday night and turn the lights out, so the amira was said before Shabbos, there's no problem with that. It wasn't the tibur, you weren't making him your agent, and therefore you can have hano if it was done that way. Obviously, you can't do it on you can't say it that, but that way cannot be said on Shabbos. Shabbos, the only way you could say it's too dark in here. You can say it's, I don't sleep well in the light. So that is, until now we've discussed what is the Isurim of Amir Lakum. As we said, you cannot tell a goy something directly, full stop. Cannot tell him an Isur directly. Generally, you can't even tell him indirectly if it's telling him to do something that's part of the Isur, unless it's set on Friday to take place on Shabbos, or set on Shabbos to take place on Moshe Shabbos. And Sipud Varim Ba'amo, when you don't actually tell him to do anything, but you infer it from what you're telling him, then that would be an amira that there's no problem with such a piece of speech, a format of speech. There the problem would be what the outcome would be, what he's doing for you. Now there are cases where amira le'akum is mutter. You can actually do what we just said above is also, you can actually do. What is it? What's an example? An example is for a person who is ill. Obviously, we're not talking about Sakonis Patoshis, because then you can do it yourself. You can tell another Jew to do it. You don't need to ask a goy. And if you do need to ask a goy, then you can ask him straight. There's nothing to talk about, because we're talking about a Choylev She'ein B'Sakona. But if we're talking about a Choylev She'ein B'Sakona, a sick person who is not deathly ill, but he is very ill, that he is called Nachum Mishkov. He has to lie down. He cannot roam around. There are people who have headaches and they function almost normally. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who's so ill that he needs to lie down from it, or it's a choli kol gufoy. It encompasses his whole body, his aches and pains everywhere. Then he is, although there's no life-threatening situation, he is what we call a choli she'en batakana. In the case of choli she'en batakana, Chazal, but we're not metaken, Amir la'akum. Amir la'akum is a derabbanan, it's not a issue of Raisa. Telling a goy to be your agent, to carry out something for you, is an issue of derabbanan. We're going to see that one sees that this issue applies in many, many forms of issue, not only on Shabbos, but it's a derabbanan to tell a goy to carry it out for you. And this, in certain circumstances, rabbanan were not goys, they saw that it was not, that it was too strict to put it in that situation. And therefore, in a case of a Chodesh Ember Sakana, the whole restriction of telling a goy falls away. Therefore, there's no need of Sifu Dvarim, there's no need of hinting. You can say it straight out. And not only that, you can tell him to do an Issa D'Oraisa. Because, as I said, the Amira itself is an Issa D'Rabbana, which they were matir in the situation of having a very sick person. So examples of that would mean is that you can tell the goy to turn off the light. You need, if you're trying to do you've got a sick person who needs to sleep, part of his, without telling us, part of a person's recovery is sleep, and a person needs to sleep and the light disturbs, you don't have to hint to him that this person is having trouble sleeping with the light on. You can actually say, turn off the light. So you can say, turn on the light, if for whatever reason you need the light for what's going on. The doctor needs to do a procedure and can't see, so they can tell the goy, go turn the light on. You can even tell the goy, if that would be the situation, go take a taxi, drive down to the local pharmacy, buy medicine and bring it back again. Because Nisi Doraisa to drive a taxi through buying and selling is only Nisi Drabonim, but you see the Amir over here, it doesn't make a difference whether it's Doraisa or Drabonim, take your own car, take a taxi, whatever the case may be. You can tell him to do this if you're dealing with a Chodesh Efer Sakana, then you may tell directly without any change in the Lashon to go do it for you. Obviously, only things that are related to the sick person. another issue that comes up is HaKol Cholim Eitzah Hatzina. Chazal tell us that when it comes to cold, everybody is considered as a Chole. Not that we are ill, but the pain and the discomfort of having to deal with freezing cold, and also the possibility of actually becoming ill because of freezing cold, is a reason to be matir amir. Is a reason to be matir those things that we matir for someone who is chole, meaning amir le'akum. So if it has been deemed cold enough that the people are suffering from the cold, it could be a detriment to their health, then you can do an Amir la'akum in order to alleviate the cold. The simple situation is telling him to turn on the heating, whether it's a furnace or whether it's an electric heater or whatever the case may be. In the old days it was to light the fire in the fireplace. That is considered as mutter on Shabbos to tell a goy to do such a thing, even though the people in the house are considered healthy. But when it gets to that amount of cold, then the even healthy people are considered ill in relation to the cold. I just heard that there's a massive cold front coming down onto North America, and temperatures are supposed to plummet to below 0 Fahrenheit, which is 17 or 18 or 20 degrees Celsius. It's considered dangerously cold. Apparently, if you're outdoors for more than a couple of minutes, it can be dangerous. So that is cold when it is cold for everybody. Now, there's also cold, and it's not cold for everybody, it's cold just for children or elderly, people who are more sensitive. Children, we know that are much more sensitive to the cold and much more dangerous to their health. To be exposed even to milder cold than what regular adults can endure, and therefore, in the case of children, you can have the heat turned on even if it's not minus 20 outside, if it's only minus 2 outside, it's also... You can get them to turn it on. And the same thing with the elderly, who also with cold can be detrimental to their health. Then obviously each case you take for its own merit. There's no rule, you know, minus 5, minus 2, 5 degrees, 10 degrees, whatever it is. That's not the rule. The rule is the person you're dealing with. What is the situation? If that you're dealing with is detrimental to his health, even though right now he's healthy, but detrimental to exposed to this cold, then you can do an amir. He's considered as a choile in this particular case. You can do an amir la'akum in order to alleviate the situation, like putting off the heat. And the same thing applies in the converse. If it would be extremely hot and at kedei kach that a person is suffering and could even be dangerous, then you can get a goy to turn on the air conditioning. Not that I'm giving heterium to turn on air conditioning. Generally, we usually don't give out the heterium, but if you're dealing with the elder, you're dealing with children. It is a heat wave, and there's a possibility of dehydration and who knows what. Maybe it's good to ask her up beforehand, but you should just know that there is makom to be meiko, even the kondos. Cold is clear that there's no two ways about it, but since reminds us the same thing applies with air conditioning. He takes it one step further and says, if you turned on the air conditioning there of Shabbos, and now the weather changed, and suddenly a cold front came in and starts raining, and it's a result of the fact that the air conditioning is on, you're suffering from too much cold, and you're going to come in and turn it off. Again, air conditioning is often non-thermostat, and it's not going to turn your house into the Arctic Circle, but if you're dealing with children, if you're dealing with the elderly, then that is something to take into account, and you can ask to take care of it. That's number one, is an exception to the rule of Amira La'akum, that you can do an Amira and have benefit from what he does, even if the direct benefit is in the situation of Chole Shein Bo Sakana, or something which we consider Chole Shein Bo Sakana, like in extreme temperature cases. There's another case where Chazal would matir Amira La'akum, even though we've defined it above as an Amira Hasura, but there's an exception. Chazal allowed us to make this Amira in the case of saving Sifrei Kodesh. Not only the standard, what we call Sefer Torah, a Mezuzah, Tfilin, which are the highest holiness of Sifrei Kodesh, but even Svarim that were printed, Svarim that we learn, Svarim that we would discard them, we put them into Geniza, we don't discard them and throw them into the garbage. They're there for us to learn from, and their content is Torah, so then they also get considered Sifrei Kodesh, and if there is a problem that these Sifrei Kodesh might be harmed, ruined, or destroyed in some way, then you may do an Amir La'akum in order to save it. So it's another case of where we allow what we defined above as Asur to do on Shabbos. So an example would be, a fire breaks out and there are Sforim that are threatened. Obviously, again, we're not talking about with Sakonis the Fascists. That is a story on its own. There are no people around, or no people in a situation of danger. But all that's going now is Sforim. So there is a Heter to tell a Goy to extinguish the fire. And that is what some poskim say is a normal household fire, even if there's no svarim inside a household, has a mezuzah on the door. So you can call the fire department to extinguish the fire in order to save the mezuzahs. Obviously, we're talking about this is Amir La'akum, so it doesn't become mutter for a Jew to do so. In order to start a little bit more complicated, since the firemen are Jewish. If you can't go get a Jewish fireman to extinguish a fire in order to save the mezuzahs, calling to save the people, not to save the mezuzahs. What we're allowing for Sifrei Kodesh is to call a goy to extinguish the fire. Generally, a Amir La'akum, go do this, is asur. In the case of Sifrei Kodesh, you can say that the chutzlar is where the fire department is manned by goyim, so there would be a heter in the case of a home fire that has no threat to human life. Nevertheless, you can call in the goy to extinguish it if there is a threat to the mezuzah. There is a discussion, as an aside, that if the mezuzah can be pulled off the doorframe, why should you call the fire department to take the mezuzah down? So there is a problem with mezuzah. Taking the mezuzah down is a problem of choice and chance. So now you have to weigh up what's worse. Should I take the mezuzah off, or should I call a goy to do it? So it actually depends on the situation. Because on one hand, taking the mezuzah down is a single rabbanon, you take the mezuzah down and it's down. Whereas if you call the goy, he sprays water and he does the malacha, and then he sprays in the next room, and the next room is a continuous malacha. It could be that it has a lot more malachas involved. So this is a rabbanon, this is a rabbanon, because taking the mezuzah down would be soysa the rabbanon. Soysa is only asu midoraisa, is down Amanat Livma. You take something down in order to put it up in a different place. Here you're taking it down in order to save it. Therefore, that's not considered as Amanat Livma, as therefore it's Rabbanon. So the truth is that it would probably be better, if you could, to take them to the spot rather than to call the fire department. If you're in a situation, you can't replace the house. It's indoors. The house is burning and it's in an indoor room and you can't pull it down. So you would have the head of the fire department. I just want to bring that in, that it's not so clear cut. You know, someone say, oh, mezuzahs, call the fire department. It's there is a lot to be said about it. Based on this idea of Amir La'akul in the situation of saving Sefer Kodesh, it was the custom of Jewish communities to ask the janitor in a shul to extinguish the candles after the service has terminated, so that the candles won't be left alone unattended all night, and there might be a problem of a fire break. In order to save the Svarim from a potential fire, you're allowed to tell the goy to extinguish the candles after
that. Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
Rabbi Kornfeld said in a shiur, if there's a fire in our home, don't be over cautious about calling the fire department.
Correct.
He said that's what you should do.
So that is the general rule. All these other things, that is obviously an isolated situation where, as I said, it is clear that there's no threat to human life. You know, it's out in a little village, it's a farmhouse, and there's no people around, just one person in his outdoors or whatever. But yes, in the way we live today, we live in apartment buildings, and we have neighbors, and there's smoke, and we don't know what a fire can do. Fire can spread. Smoke is dangerous. The general stuff that a Rav gives is fire, call the fire department. It's Jewish firemen, good. Because we say that Sakonis and Kosher should be carried out by Yidden. Yes, that is the rule of thumb. You have a shiloh whether it's right or wrong, you ask afterwards, not before. First call the fire department, put the fire out, and then you can go ask your rabbi whether.
What if you know how to put the fire out yourself?
Then you may put it out yourself.
And if you call the fire department, it could spread before, you know, before you can put it, and then you can't put it out yourself. So you should put it out yourself on Shabbos because other people,
it could get worse, but they can't. Yes, for sure. Yes, for sure. It actually happened by us many years ago while we were sleeping. A candle fell over and it started burning. The neighbors came down and whoosh, he threw a bucket of water over it. Well, I'm not sure it's going to spread, and I can put water around it. And then he went and asked his Rav afterwards, the way I said it should be done. And his Rav said what he did was, so yes, if you can do it yourself, that's fine. Okay, I see we're at the end. It's going to end off now. So the one more halacha that we have, I'll leave for next week. And wish everybody a good week. It's a shame week.